Welcome to another edition of the News Gazette Prep Sports Podcast. We're here at Champaign Central High School in Seeley Hall on a Thursday afternoon. I'm sports editor Matt Daniels, joined by Anthony Zillis, our preps coordinator. Pleased to be joined by Champaign Central football coach Nate Alba and two of his big senior offensive linemen. I feel small,
we're
Anthony.
Dwarfed here.
John Maldonado and Michael Hoppenstaver, kind enough to join us. And coach, got a big game on Friday night, Centennial over at Tommy Stewart Field. Fifth time in your tenure here at Central, you're facing crosstown rivals. What's the game week like, I guess, when you guys are getting ready to play Centennial at all?
Sure. Well, I mean, game week is usual for us when we're at practice, but I think that game week is probably a lot different for our guys when they're not at practice, because there is a lot of hype around this game, and there's a lot of hype in the school and as well as at Centennial, and I know that Twitter is alive with action. So it's a big game for us, and we want to win it. We want to compete well and play well, so you know, we're excited for it. It's a fun week, and we get a huge crowd, so that's fun to play in front of.
John and Michael, what is the game week like, and are you guys talking to your friends at Centennial, or what are you, what's it like?
Do they have friends at Centennial?
Do you have any friends at Centennial?
Yeah, this game, there's a lot of like excitement and animosity leading up to this game and throughout the week. But matter of fact is, it's still a football game, so the team that executes better will come out on top. So as a team, we're just trying to focus on the game and getting better throughout the week and kind of zone out all the extra excitement around the game.
John, what's a Friday night like before you guys play Centennial when you're out at Tommy Stewart Field and you're getting ready to play and the adrenaline's flowing and I'm sure you probably want to run through a wall to get out there and play it all?
Yeah, it's really exciting to come out on Friday night. We try to bring that same energy throughout practice on Monday and Thursday. We try to come out with clear heads. We try not to focus on like social media. Normally what I do is I'll try to shut that down because I have a lot of friends over there.
Mm-hmm. Do you do like the zero dark 30 like LeBron does during the playoffs at all? Just don't even turn it on?
Something like that.
Nate, obviously it's kind of been a struggle for you guys so far this year, sitting at 0-3, faced some really good teams though, Peoria Richwoods, Danville, Bloomington. Just what's kind of been the season been like so far for you guys, and what are you hoping for on Friday night?
Well, I think that, you know, it has, obviously we're 0-3, we haven't won a game, which is difficult, but you know, over time as you do this for a while, you realize that a lot of things are out of your control. Sometimes it's not about how good you are, it's about how good are the people that you're playing. So far, we've played three very good football teams, and we've made a handful of mistakes that we think are fixable. But what's been most exciting for me is just that we have a team of guys who have kept the morale high. And if you've been around high school football for any time, you know that as soon as losing happens, that program changes, kids change, things change, and you know, here at Central, just our kids have just stayed very, very steady. That they just keep going about the process. They're there the next morning. They're the same guys. And, of course, we're like everyone. Everybody would love to be winning. But these guys have had a great attitude the whole time, and they come ready to work the next day. And all we can do is continue to try to get better, like we said. And the kids are as excited as ever to go out and play Centennial this Friday.
Is it nice to have this, like, these trophy games, like, in the midst of the season to kind of, you know, have an extra little, you know, carrot for you guys? Is it?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I've coached at a lot of schools, and there's nothing fun about a game that is not going to be competitive or that your fans don't care about. They're nice only when you're an Illinois football coach and a win means so much because you need it to go to the postseason. You know, but outside, those games are not really that fun to be a part of. You're just there for the victory to get it and put it in your pocket so that you're going to make the postseason. But games like this are what it's all about. It's high energy, and I'll never forget. Just being out there, I never let myself forget how lucky I am to be a part of it, that the job of coaching is very difficult and very trying and very exhausting, but you do it because that feeling on Friday night, I mean, there's not an amount of money that somebody could pay to get that feeling. If they could buy it, I think it would cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's a feeling like none other, and that's exactly why we do it, and so I'm excited.
Gotcha. Michael, your offense last Friday kind of got going there against Bloomington and had some success in week one against Prairie Richwoods. What do you feel kind of is the strength just on this offensive side of the ball for the Maroons?
For this offense, I think we treat every play like its own unique play. Every play is just a process. Mm-hmm. And the key to us is executing each play perfectly. And on the O-line, me and John have been preaching to the whole O-line, and we've been really working to explode off the ball every single play. Mm-hmm. And with young backs, the O-line just has to explode off the ball every single play. And we can't afford to make little mistakes throughout the plays and whatnot. So just trying to consistently get better and make sure we're perfection on game day.
John Michael mentioned some of the young backs that you got. One of those is Connor Milton, a sophomore that's really, you know, shown up so far these first 3 weeks. What's it like to block for him and some of the other backs you guys got back there at all?
It feels great because going back on our strengths, last year we brought back most of our linemen. Mm-hmm. So, like he said, it was very unique because we ran back on that from last year. So we kind of, like, know each other, and we can communicate way more better. Mm-hmm. So, like, to see that we ran a play and it went for 60 yards, mm-hmm. We can pat ourselves on the back because, like, we just did that. Mm-hmm. We blocked for him, and it executed, like, well.
Gotcha. You guys, I talked to your coach before the season, and he talked about how this team is sort of, you know, built around the lines, I guess. After, you know, last couple of years, you had a lot of, you know, skilled players that you had back. Is that kind of hard to get used to, or what's that like, kind of being, you know, sort of the leaders of this group?
It's definitely a different role, but I think it's more a role we put on ourselves. You know, being seniors, we really just want to be successful. So as seniors, we've really been working to bring this team and have a successful season. So
I mean, I would let you know that I'm hard on these guys. I'm very hard on them, and they know it. And I just been forthright with them and told them both this. You are the strength. We have to have you. This has to be right. There's no room for error. So I've been hard on them. You know, they'll be modest, but yeah. Life is tough on Monday through Thursday for these guys. Sorry, go ahead, fellas.
Friday night a little easier.
It always is. It is, and it's also easier when you have electric backs like Connor Milton and mm-hmm. Luke McMahon and yeah. Jalen Booker and Dylan Gunn behind you, because mm-hmm. even if you mess up, they'll still make a play, you know? Like, it's always good as a lineman having electric backs behind you.
Nate, what's it been like just seeing kind of Connor's progress as a sophomore, and did you kind of anticipate some of the yards that he's putting up so far this year?
Yeah, I think that – I don't know that how many surprises we've had as a team this mm-hmm. year. We knew where we were thin. We were thin personnel-wise, but we also knew that Connor's a very special back. He has a level of explosion that's special, and if you haven't seen him yet and you're coming out at Friday night, you'll get to see it. He's special, but there's without a doubt, last Friday night it was really neat to see. Mm-hmm. Just schematically, we were able to put a good plan together, mm-hmm. and when we knew, all right, we're going for one of our home run plays, I mean, everything was right, man. Yeah. You know, whether it's a counter play and Big John's coming across, kicking out, he's hitting that kick out hard, and there is room. Yeah. And Connor's special enough to hit a burst of acceleration. He's hard to catch.
I'm standing across from John right now, and I don't want to imagine him coming at me on a kick out block.
It's not as painful as you might think, actually. John's – no, I'm kidding, John. I'm kidding.
Come on. Nate, what's it like having a lot of key players who are, you know, sophomores and juniors, like, you know, Connor and Luke McMahon, and what I guess what's the transition like to become full time?
Well, I mean, the reality is it's frustrating because young players, they don't, you know, just you figure a young man, he's got 4 years of high school football, and the amount of maturing that happens year after year, and the amount of learning and understanding of the game that happens year after year, it's ridiculous to see how much further along, like, these two seniors are than, say, even our one junior lineman, how much further these guys are along from them. So when you have a lot of sophomores and juniors, it's very frustrating because you feel like you've covered this already. But the reality is you haven't covered it enough. You maybe have only covered this six times, and it needs to be covered 66 times, right? So you just kind of, time after time, you go, how are we making this mistake still? And you realize, okay, He hasn't lived through that mistake yet. These guys have to live through these mistakes in order to fix the mistakes, and that's what it's like having young guys around. They're like everyone else. They're special and talented, but they have to live through the mistakes in order to get through them.
John, what's a Friday night like after a win for Champaign Central? What do you guys, do you just go home and sleep, or do you guys have a special hangout spot at all? Favorite restaurant in town you guys like to go to?
Well, one, it's really amazing because like the energy after the game. Mm-hmm. You can go have friends. You can go do stuff with your buddies. Mm-hmm. But more like what we have Saturday practices.
Okay.
So we really can't do much after games. Yeah. And
any particular place you go out to eat or anything?
I'd say Dos Reales.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. It's like a popular spot.
Yeah, yeah. I prefer El Toro, but
can't go wrong.
But Nate, you know, obviously you guys are technically hosting this game on Friday, but I know you've talked about in the past about wanting, you know, your own field, and I know there's a proposal that, you know, possibly have something at McKinley for you guys. I know it's talked about being a JV field versus a varsity, you know, field. What are your thoughts on that, and what's kind of the desire to have your
own? Well, it's pretty simple and straightforward. We don't want to play over at Centennial anymore. We don't feel like it's our home field, and we would like to have a home field. Mm-hmm. McKinley is our home. That's where we are every day. Mm-hmm. That's where we're comfortable, and that's where our belongings are. And that's our home, and that's where we want to play. The new plan has a football field being built there. Everything is ready for a game. All we need is permission to play there. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a turf field, which can handle as many games as you want. We just want to play there. And I think they were looking, going, well, it's not big enough for the stadium that Centennial has. Well, we don't want that stadium. Mm-hmm. We've never filled it in my 5 years mm-hmm. here, no matter how big the game. Mm-hmm. I want a stadium about a third that size. And now you take a stadium a third that size and put the same size crowd in it, it's going to be electric, right? It feels packed. It's all about what it feels like. I mean, I'll tell you what, I've been at some playoff games at, I was at coaching a game at Georgetown Ridge Farm. Mm-hmm. I would guess tops 800 people there. It was the loudest atmosphere I've ever been a part of, and people were on top of us, and the guys were out there with their motorcycles, overwhelming with sound and cowbells.
Cowbells, yes.
And it was one of the only times where my players could not hear me. So it doesn't take a lot of people to make electric atmosphere, but you've got to be forward thinking, and you've got to say, hey, listen, let's build something special for our kids. And to build a nice, unique, small stadium that maybe seats 1,000 people, mm-hmm. you're going to have electric atmospheres. And now, let's say the Centennial game rolls around and it's going to have 2,000 people there. Well, where are they going to sit? Well, they're going to stand around. Mm-hmm. They're going to stand everywhere. And now, even when you go as a fan, when you're in that atmosphere, you come home feeling like you were at something special, mm-hmm. right? When you got to wait and plan your trip to the concession stand because there's too many people, you're at a pretty cool event, no matter what it is. So that's what we want. That's where we want to be, and we just need permission, and we're hoping that that our leaders in our district can kind of have that vision and share that vision with us and want that for our kids, because that's going to be exciting and neat to be a part of.
Michael and John, 5 years from now when you come back as distinguished alums of Champaign Central and you go to a Friday night football game, how badly do you want to have you guys see the Maroons play on their own home field at all?
Well, for me, I want to, like, I know my little brother's going to be coming through Champaign Central in a few years, and, like, that'd be cool to have him have his own field, right? Mm-hmm. And Central for a long time has been like having to go to Centennial, mm-hmm. and like we've never had our true home feeling. And with as much history as Central has, I think if you just added a home field, I think it'd be a complete total package, and that's all we really need.
John, same question.
I also agree with Hasenstab. We've been going back there for years, and it's honestly not the same because they have their field, mm-hmm. and we don't.
Nate, what is it like on a Friday night? Take us through kind of the routine. You guys go get ready for a 7 o'clock kick. What do you guys do first?
Well, we meet at McKinley, and we go through everything. We have what we call as a walkthrough, mm-hmm. So we're going to organize everything. You know, mm-hmm. Do we have 11 guys that know they're on the kickoff team? Right, so little things mm-hmm. like that. And everybody's just going to try to make sure your kid's in the right place mentally, and everybody has their helmet, things like that, because you'll be amazed at how many times those things don't actually happen. And then we'll leave to get over there as late as we feel comfortable. Okay. You know, we've played around with how late mm-hmm. to get there. We've had times where we got there at 6:45 for a 7 o'clock game.
Okay.
So we play around with what's the latest we could get there, what's mm-hmm. the least amount of time we could spend there, and we'll just get there for game time. So this week we'll probably be there right around 6 o'clock, get our specials out, and you know, go through your standard game day routine.
Gotcha. All right, guys, we're going to wrap this segment up of the News Gazette Prep Sports Podcast. I know you guys got to go back to class and get ready for Friday night's game against Centennial, but want to thank Nate Albaugh, John Maldonado, and Michael Hobbinstop from Champaign Central Football for stopping by. The Maroons and Centennial meet at 7 o'clock on Friday night in the annual Crosstown Rivalry game. We'll be right back on the News Gazette Prep Sports Podcast.
Hey, Jim Rosso, News Gazette Media, reminding you that every day at newsgazette.com, there's a bevy of podcasts for your listening pleasure, from Jim Turpin's Penny for Your Thoughts to Scott Beatty's Sports Talk to interviews with the movers and shakers in town on The Morning Show. Check it out, newsgazette.com. Search for podcasts.
Welcome back to the News Gazette Prep Sports Podcast here on Thursday afternoon inside Sealy Hall at Champaign Central High School. Sports editor Matt Daniels here with Preps coordinator Anthony Zillis. Want to thank Nate Alba, John Maldonado, and Michael Hassenstab for stopping by here. Heard all about the Maroons and their big game on Friday night against Centennial at Tommy Stewart Field. Central comes in 0-3, played some good teams though, and Centennial at 1-2, so a very important game for both teams in terms of their playoff chances. And Anthony, you were at Monticello last Friday night, a team that went on a deep run last season, made it to the Class 3A state semifinals, and all things considering, looks like the Sages are well on the way to another possible perfect regular season.
Yeah, it was kind of an incredible show to watch. First 17 minutes of the game, scoring 46 points against St. Thomas More. St. Thomas More, a team that had a few injuries and things like that that they can't really afford with such a small roster. But just that volume of points and that defense is just can be dominant. So it'll be interesting as they get going in their schedule. When they play the Unity, St. Joe's, Bloomington Central Catholic, to see what kind of how that defense holds up if it's as dominant as it has looked so far against the competition they played.
Yeah, they've only allowed one touchdown. That was in week two up in Chillicothe against Illinois Valley Central. Every other opponent has not failed to score on Coley Welter's defense there. So Monticello's got it rolling as well. So does Unity. The Rockets are at 3-0. Top-ranked team in our area poll, but they actually slipped in the AP statewide poll that came out Wednesday afternoon. They dropped down to second after being first last week. IC Catholic moves back up to number one in 3A, but Unity had a bit of a scare last Friday night. Went up to Fairbury and escaped with a 28-20 win against Prairie Central. Steven Miggett, Keaton Eckstein, kind of the story right now for their offense in terms of what they bring to the run game. Had standout games running the ball for the Rockets, and not an easy test this Friday night for Unity. Face St. Joseph Ogden. Spartans come in 2-1 after a loss last Friday night to Bloomington Central Catholic, 59-39. But as we talked about earlier on the podcast with Central Centennial, St. Joe Unity is one of those great rivalries in our area as well.
Right. If you're going there, obviously you gotta get there early to get a parking spot, which is it's just a fun atmosphere. Like Coach Alba was talking about, if a stadium like that is packed and full, you can really just feel the excitement, and I think that's a kind of a fun atmosphere to be at, and it should be a pretty good game. I mean, I think we saw St. Joseph Ogden leading Bloomington Central Catholic for a while last week, maybe surprised a lot of people there. And Unity got a scare last week, so I think this could be relatively even matchup for a while.
Yeah, it should be, and we'll see what happens between that key game in the Illini Prairie Conference, and staying on the Illini Prairie Conference as well. Kudos to Rantoul. Ended a 19-game losing streak last Friday with a 40-20 win at Olympia. Tavius Bell, Angelo Brown both rushed for more than 100 yards for the Eagles, who are now at 1-2. Doesn't get any easier for Rantoul this Friday, though, with Monticello coming to Bill Walsh Field, but hey, Rantoul has surprised some teams before, so we'll see if they can pull off a stunner and knock off the unbeaten state-ranked Sages at all. But we'll see what happens there. In the Big 12, Danville sitting at 3-0. They're ninth in the latest Class 6A poll. They went on the road last Friday to Peoria and routed Peoria Manual 62-7. Manual struggled this year. They're at 0-3, but Danville improved to 3-0, and they've just got some key pieces back and some key skill positions. Jerry Reed, Julian Pearl, Caleb Griffin, some standout players for Danville that are performing well early this year. They play Urbana this Friday night over in Danville. The Tigers are struggling right now. They're at 0-3 and lost 58-8 to Peoria last Friday at home. So all things considering, looks like Danville should probably go to 4-0 after this Friday.
Right, and Urbana, that's a tough way for Odell Walker to start out his career at Urbana, playing normal
community, Centennial,
and then Peoria. Right.
Welcome to the Big 12.
But I think what's really interesting watching Danville is Ernest Plummer is he's not just a first year varsity player, he's a first year football player in high school. He's playing quarterback for them. He's obviously a star baseball player for them. Plays basketball too. But kind of fascinating to watch a guy succeed at that position. And as they get going in the Big 12. Big 12 season. I know they're relying on some youth, so it'll be interesting to see how they kind of hold up under against some really obviously really tough competition.
Yeah, another big game this Friday night's over in the Vermilion Valley Conference. Oakwood sitting at 3-0 this year. Host Bismarck, Henning, Rossville, Alvin. The Blue Devils are at 2-1, but they've won their last two after a season opening loss to Watseka St. Anne. I know Nate Albaugh was asking about that game before he stepped on the podcast with us. He's got a vested interest in that with Wade DeVries, former Central offensive coordinator, now in his second year at Oakwood, and he's got the Comets rolling, Anthony. It should be a heck of a game on Friday night at Oakwood.
Yeah, I think last year was kind of, Oakwood was sort of this upstart program, and I think now they're kind of other programs in Vermilion Valley Conference should take notice. Obviously, have a lot of really talented athletes that are good in several
multiple sports.
Yeah, three sport athletes like Skylar Bolton and Chase Vincent to name a couple. That'll be a fascinating one to watch to see if Oakwood is, how big of a step they've taken because Bismarck Henning Rossville Alvin is a program that is consistently obviously among the best in the area.
Yeah, it should be a quick game too. Both teams like to run the ball into their wing T offenses, and you've got the two leading rushers in our area going at it on Friday night with Caleb Leahy, sophomore for the Blue Devils. He's rushed for 748 yards and 10 touchdowns in his first three games, and he's really filled in nicely after Bismarck Henning, Rossville Alvin lost Isaac Kitchens to a knee injury in week one. Rushed for more than 250 yards last week, 342 in week two. So Oakwood's going to have to stop him if they want to come away with a win, but then Bolton as well, and Caleb Smiley, both rushed for more than 150 yards in their win last week against Hoopston area, Schlarman, Armstrong, Potomac. So it'll be a battle of the lines on Friday night in Oakwood.
I would say it's nice to have a state finalist 4x100 team when you're looking for a depth in your running backs.
that is very true.
He is another guy on that team.
All right, well, we've talked a lot of football so far on the News Gazette Prep Sports Podcast. We're going to take one quick break and be right back to wrap up the show.
Hey, Jim Rosso, News Gazette Media, reminding you that every day at newsgazette.com, there's a bevy of podcasts for your listening pleasure, from Jim Turpin's Penny for Your Thoughts, to Scott Beatty's Sports Talk, to interviews with the movers and shakers in town on The Morning Show. Check it out, newsgazette.com. Search for podcasts.
Welcome back to the News Gazette Prep Sports Podcast. I'm Sports Editor Matt Daniels here with Preps Coordinator Anthony Zillis, wrapping up this week's episode. And Anthony, you were at a soccer match on Tuesday night, big one here in town, Champaign Central and Centennial, and the Chargers came out on top with a close 1-0 win over at Franklin Field. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, I think you're seeing two kind of developing programs in our area. You saw Champaign Central lost a lot of their starters from last season and have a lot of talent in this group, but sort of figuring it out. And Centennial, a kind of program who's struggled for a couple of years, but is sort of on its way up and added a couple players, including Portuguese exchange student. It's always nice when you get those Portuguese exchange students for the soccer program. Francisco Andrade, who scored a goal.
Early goal, right?
Yeah, 10 minutes in, and a lot of chances for Champaign Central throughout, but Centennial held on for the win, and that's their first win in a couple of years against top area teams like Central and Danville, and even they beat Muhammad earlier this year also, so that was a good, nice win for them, but kind of a pretty even game throughout, but a really nice kind of program win for Centennial.
Yeah, and earlier in the week, two of the better small school programs in our area for quite some time, and St. Thomas More and Uni High met, and came out deadlocked in a 1-1 tie. So no win in that match. I have to think, based on when the IHSA releases their postseason draw, that they'll be slated to possibly meet again, whether it's in a regional final or a sectional semifinal, right, or sectional title match or anything like that. But I know you've talked to both James Johnson at STM and Phil Anders at Uni, and they do play differently, have different styles, right, but they're very competitive matches when they do play each other.
Right, and it'll be interesting to see which I don't know which one you'd rank higher, especially after this result. But Uni High, obviously more of a likes to move the ball around, mm-hmm, pass the ball, and St. Thomas More has really strong defenders and really strong players up top, so mm-hmm, they try to get it from the defenders to the forwards as quickly as possible. STM really, strong defense led by Jake Sillette and defender, he's their goalkeeper, and mm-hmm, Nick Freeling, who's a really talented defender, and Joe Hoffman up top. Whereas Uni has these has twins, Rahi and Omid Maraptab Salah, you've been hearing about for years, and they're smaller kids, and kind of exemplify how Uni likes to play, just really talented dribblers, mm-hmm, and passers and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see if they, next time they play, if they meet in the playoffs, we'll have to see a winner. So
yeah,
that'll be
on the volleyball scene. Since we're here at Champaign Central High, be neglect to not mention what Manny Rodriguez's volleyball team accomplished this past weekend. They won the 16-team Bulldog Invitational over at Mohammed Seymour, and the Maroons have been a little bit streaky so far this year, but put together a nice run there, and actually their six-match win streak ended on Tuesday night. They fell at home, I believe, to one of the Peoria schools. The one escapes me off the top of my head who they lost. I think it might have been Richwoods.
Yeah.
There you go, in two sets, but still they're at 14-6 on the year, and they've got some talented players, and Riley Hinton, and Illinois commit, and Mira Chopra, a freshman that's worth watching for years to come, probably.
Yeah, we're gonna be talking about this Champaign Central team a lot, and I still contend, aside from maybe St. Thomas More, if we're looking at a team to make a deep playoff run, I think it's gonna be Champaign Central. They just have the talent to match up with mm-hmm, a lot of teams in the state.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. And STM, speaking of them, they went on the road on Tuesday night up to Watseka, another quality Class 2A program that for years has been a perennial postseason power. They made it to an Elite Eight last year, and Mike Allison and the Sabres went up there and swept Watseka in a big win for STM. Stan Bergman's club now at 8-2 on the season, and I know you saw them last week, Anthony. They're not just Mike Allison this season.
No, they have this team has a lot of depth. They have, like I said last week, they have two, state qualifying high jumpers on their team, and another Division I recruit in Allie Tramp. So that mm-hmm, this team is loaded for a 1A team or a 2A team. Mm-hmm. Sorry, we'll be watching them, and a team that could even run the table the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
They have that kind of talent.
Yeah, St. Joseph Ogden continues to cruise along as well. They placed third at the Bulldog Invitational. Oakwood struggled a little bit over Mohammed this past Saturday, but they picked up a Vermilion Valley Conference win on Tuesday night, so they're cruising along as well. And it's just a lot of good area volleyball this year. And right, Cisna Park was off to a good start. They lost on earlier this week to Bismarck Henning, Rossville Alvin. The Blue Devils seemed to get it going as well. So it should be a very interesting postseason, especially in Class 2A and then some of the 1A schools as well once that ratchets up next month. Mm-hmm. Let's see, cross country. You're going to go to your first cross country meet of the season this Saturday, Anthony.
Can't wait.
Headed down to Tuscola, Wimple Park, 40th annual Tuscola Classic.
Yeah.
Have you done any prep yet so far? We're talking on Wednesday afternoon, so you're just trying to get through Friday night right now.
Right. I know a bit about cross country in the area, obviously, after covering it the last couple of years, but we'll do more specific prep later in the week. But obviously, a lot of good teams at this meet.
Arthur Lovington, Atwood Hammond will be there. Logan Hall, he's got the possibility of winning a state title in 1A for Ala there, and a handful of other quality runners will be on the course on Saturday down in Douglas County, and we'll have full coverage in Sunday's News Gazette. We're going to wrap up this week's News Gazette Prep Sports Podcast. I want to thank everyone here at Champaign Central for the accommodations. You can go see the Maroons football team this Friday night. They take on Centennial, 7 o'clock at Tommy Stewart Field. For press coordinator Anthony Zillis, for our engineer producer Ed Bond, who won't be with us next week because you're taking a vacation, apparently, Ed. I guess that's allowed. I'm sports editor Matt Daniels. We'll see you next week.